A very good morning, church. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you look good? And especially if your spouse, man, if your spouse is beside you, look at her really good and say, you look extra good. Friends, we want to declare the word of God aloud together. Can I invite us to stand and you hold up your Bible? And we want to say that His word is strong. His word reigns. Amen. Are you ready? Let's lift up our Bibles together. One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It informs my mind. It inspires my heart and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Amen. We want to read aloud the word of God together. There's one verse and a passage. The first verse is taken from Mark chapter 10. Verses 45, and the next one is Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. Are you ready? At a count of three, 1, 2, 3. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of His disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here, and if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, He sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Lord, as we declare your word, let your word, God, permeate and speak, God, personally, Lord, to your children here. Lord, we grant that you give us understanding, grant us a response, Lord, so that we honor you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please take your seat. The skit just now, it was really good, and I thought Eva and Amanda did so well. Their diction, their memorizing of the words were just so good. And in preparation of the Advent, it was just a short story about Elizabeth having a conversation with Mary. Two ordinary ladies, and God used them powerfully. And Advent, which is from the Latin word, it means coming of Christ. And it's a period of 4 weeks leading up to the Christmas day. And as Pastor Chris has mentioned, we are starting a 5-part series. And this will reflect on the different attributes of Christ, the beautiful King, to follow. It is also a good time to pause and to reflect on the soon ending of 2017. I believe that we had never imagined that 2017, in about 3 weeks' time, it will end. How time has passed. So especially, it is good to reflect upon our spiritual journey as we celebrate the coming King. And especially, it is good in the attitude of thanksgiving, for the Lord is so good to us. Amen. In a previous chapter of Mark 11, which is Mark chapter 10, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they are also known as sons of thunder. And it came to Jesus with a request for one of them to sit on the right-hand side of Jesus and the other one to sit on his left. They were interested in high position, in power, and prominence. And Jesus responded to them that he says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. And right after these loving instructions of our Lord Jesus, and he made this most humbling statement in Mark chapter 10, verses 45. For God so loved, no, this is John 3:16, but now this is Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And today now we come to this message. Jesus as the King of Kings would come in gentleness, riding on a young donkey. Imagine together with me, it's pretty amazing, don't you think, that the King of Kings humbly riding on a young donkey. And really, if you think about it, it's a beautiful picture of the beautiful King to let his people know how humble and gentle he is to his people. So the big idea this morning, even though Christ is the King of Kings, he came to serve. Let us imitate his servant heart. And there are three key descriptions of why Christ, the gentle and the humble King, came. And first, King Jesus came to save. And in Mark 11, verses 1 to 3, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. So we see here Jesus sends two of his disciples into this village where they will find a colt tied. And Jesus tells these disciples to loose the colt and bring it to him. And immediately, the scene became very interesting. And as far as we read in the scripture, Jesus never rode an animal up to this point. And we know that he uses boats to traverse back and forth on the Sea of Galilee. And we know that he walked from town to town, covering the land of Israel. Now, Bethphage, which is called the House of Figs, is only about 3 kilometers from Jerusalem. He could have easily walked. But why does Jesus need to ride a colt, a young donkey? Clearly, Jesus, I believed, has made divine prearrangements to use this colt ahead of time. And the point is this, that with this specific instructions, look at the underlying words, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Let's think for a moment. What happens when someone tries to sit on an animal that has never been ridden before? The animal will react madly and wildly and run and kick until whoever is riding on the beast, the animal, will eventually fall off. But yet not so with Jesus sitting on it. This image shows the gentleness, the tenderness, and the humility of Christ, the beautiful King and Savior to his people. And the reason Jesus is going to ride a colt into Jerusalem is to fulfill a prophecy. And this prophecy was given 550 years earlier. And Zechariah had prophesied in chapter 9, verses 9. It says here, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus here, he was going to ride into Jerusalem on a colt so that the people in the city will be reminded of this prophecy. And Jesus was about to show that he is the true king. When we come to think of it, when a king comes in, he should have come in with the grandest and most pomp of all entrances. Yet, what an unusual way for King Jesus to show that he is the true king. We would expect that the King of Kings to ride with power on his white horse, destroying the enemies, which was found actually in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. And in this scene, we see the king coming with his armies, striking nations with a sharp sword, ruling with a rod of iron, and treading down the enemies in his wrath. But it was not time for that yet. And the Jews at the time, they were acquainted with many of the prophecies about the Messiah. The Messiah is a Hebrew word, and it means the chosen and or anointed one. And they firmly believed that the Messiah would be a strong and glorious earthly king who would deliver them from their Roman oppressors and form once again a great and independent Jewish kingdom. So when the people desired the appearance of the Son of David, they were hoping the prophesied one, the Messiah, who would restore the kingdom of Israel under the Davidic lineage. Instead of riding in with sword in hand, Jesus rode on a donkey because the king was coming to bring salvation and deliverance for the people who had believed in him. Recently, I read of a 500-year-old painting of Christ known as Salvator Mundi, or Savior of the World. And this was painted by Leonardo da Vinci, and it was sold for a whopping $450 million in a Christie's auction room. And it is the highest and costliest ever auctioned price for any work of art. Even the world, in that sense, recognized the immense value of Christ, the Savior of the world, who came to save the lost. 2 days ago, on a Friday evening, I attended a CG Christmas party led by a cell leader, Jerry Teo. And I was so very proud of the whole cell group. And I counted that there were close to 40 people that were present. And I observed that easily more than a third were pre-believers, meaning that they do not know Christ. And I noticed that at least one put up her hand to receive Christ when we gave the challenge. And when she put up her hand, it was like this. So actually, I saw a number of hands doing like that, yeah? To receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Church, the lost need to know the Savior of the world. And what a great time of the year to do it. So, church, don't miss this chance. People need the Lord. Really, all praise be to God. Amen. Next, Jesus came to be our substitute. For those of you that want to keep this word to your heart, memorize Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And I believe as you meditate upon it, the Spirit of God will speak to you personally. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even," let's read aloud together, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'd like you to take note of the underlying word ransom. Ransom means substitute. And the Greek word lutron for ransom, it means a payment to release someone from some kind of a bondage, a shackle that the person is in. And the image of a person, for example, caught in a huge, seemingly unpayable debt, or a prisoner of war, or a person enslaved in slavery. No way that this person can come out of that predicament. So the implication is that Jesus sees his death as a ransom to release many from bondage. He is paying what they cannot pay so that they may go free. He is substituting himself for them. And at the cost of his life, they get freedom. And this ransom is describing a substitution. Jesus in the place of many, of you and I. We should have died for our sins, for our wrongdoings. Instead, Jesus died on our behalf and paid the price with his life for our release from eternal death. And next, Jesus came in exchange. He paid the price, and in exchange, we are set free. We have given him our rottenness, and in exchange, he gives us his righteousness. Let's read aloud the Word of God together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Together, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And by his wounds, you have been healed. And by his wounds, you have been healed. Later on, at the end of the celebration, for those of you who need that touch of the physical healing, claim this: by his wounds, you will be healed. Amen. I'd like you to look at the underlying word, live for righteousness. About 3 weeks ago, we had our last run of BMEW. BMEW stands for Baptism and Membership Encounter Weekend. And we have 4 runs over the year, and in order for you to attend this, prerequisites, courses that you need to attend is the Basic Doctrine 101 and DOMC 101. And over the many years, we have seen bondages broken and lives set free. A life set free from a deep feeling of rejection due to being adopted. Baggages dealt with for uncontrollable anger on the road while driving, and especially when someone cuts in front of his lane of driving, the person will burst out in rage, and that baggage was dealt with. And there were many people, big-time deliverance, especially in the area of unforgiveness, and areas of self-esteem, significance, were also dealt with. And there were a number of people, too, that they were freed from taking offense so very easily. Words that were spoken, they thought it was personally towards them, but they realized it is not. And God dealt with them. And many, too, that they were released from past hurts of failed relationship. The next point, Jesus came for everyone. And this is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 to 6. Let's read aloud the Word of God together. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. For all people, everyone. Church, can you turn to your neighbor and say, everyone? That means you and I. And as the saying goes, Jesus took the bullet in our place instead of us. We deserve to die. But because of our sins, we deserve really to perish. But instead, King Jesus, the beautiful King, died on our behalf. Really, church, when you really come to think of it, that is the greatest news. And as we came before the table just now, it is always good to remember that Jesus loves you and loves us so, so very much. I have a cell group member who is a young Christian, and this is his favorite verse. And I believe many of you, this is your favorite verse too. And this is the first verse that came into his mind. Let's not look at this projection. I believe some of you, you can rattle it off from your memory. And this verse is John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'd like you to look at the underlined word, the world. The world. Everyone. Jesus came for everyone. And then the next word is also just below it. Whoever. Whoever. It's everyone. You and I. The true substitute was God's only Son who died to bear our punishment, our Lord Jesus Christ. I like the word everyone. Every one of us who is saved, invite a friend to our beautiful King celebration. And I believe this can be our motto. Everyone invites one. Yeah. I'd like you to have a look at the next picture. Next picture. Next picture. Okay. Where's the picture? Okay. Actually, this is the picture that I want to show to you. Pastor Chris, Pastor Alex mentioned about this lady who went to the info counter and tried to grab hold of 500 invitation cards for the beautiful King so that friends can come to the celebration. At the counter, they said, we only have 400. I said, next week you come back, we will make sure that you will get another 100 or another few thousand cards for you. This is Sunita. Sunita is a lecturer and also a postgraduate student. And as we heard, she will be going door-to-door knocking. Door-to-door knocking. Have you heard of Pastor Bill Wilson? He knocked until his knuckle got a fractured hairline. Yesterday, he called me. He said, yeah, I'm doing okay. So I prayed for him. Actually, he wanted to ask me about this particular person who is going to join his ministry for a short term. So we want to thank God for how God preserved Pastor Bill Wilson's life. And you know what? 400 invitation cards taken by Sunita. She was inspired, she was touched, and she said, I want to care. I want to show the love of Christ this coming Advent season. Wow. And yesterday, the next slide, there was this house blessing that I went to. After meeting Sunita, I rushed off for a dinner, then I went to this house blessing. This is two combined cell group, but actually more than half, they were not there. And this cell group recently just multiplied about 6 months ago. So if the two cell groups were to come together, we easily have 50 people. So we deliberately invited pre-believers to come for these house blessings. And they were friends that helped out in this couple's wedding. So when we were singing a song called Jesus, We Enthrone You, I saw this non-Christian, a pre-believer, was trying to sing the song, Jesus, We Enthrone You. And when I looked at him, I said, this person got hope, so I better not let him go. So when We found a little space of time. He was sitting on the sofa. I drew a chair next up to him. And I started my little chat and started to know a little bit more about him. And as we talked more and more, as I shared my testimony, at the end, I asked him lovingly, "Would you love to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And Michael gave his life to the Lord. And you know what? Let's give the Lord a big hand. And as part of my responsibility and duty, I went to my car, I took out this beautiful King invitation card. I wrote on here, "Dear Michael Toon, you are invited to our Christmas celebration." I handed it out to him. So when you give the card, don't give it blank, okay? Write the name. Present it with two of your hands. You are very important. You are invited to this Christmas celebration. And he says he will be coming. Wow. Okay? Turn to your neighbor. "I will grab a card. I will grab a card." And everyone invites one. Turn to your neighbor and say that everyone invites one. Can, huh? Okay, like can, huh? I know Pastor Key can. He jogs around his neighborhood and he'll bring about 20 cards and he'll pass all around. Okay? Amen. Good. Okay. Third and finally, the humble King Jesus came to serve. A servant who serves is one who waits on. Okay, this time, for real, Mark 10, 45. This time, don't look at the screen. Don't look at the screen. Are you ready? Together. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." You notice the underlined words? If you join the dots together of these underlined words, it reads, "The Son of Man come to serve." The Son of Man come to serve. The Son of Man come to serve. The word "serve" is where the word "deacon" comes from. And it literally means one who waits on and serves others. And Jesus offered himself as the perfect servant model. He is the King of Kings, yet he came to serve. But that is the paradoxes of Jesus' earthly life. He owned all things, yet he had nowhere to lay his own head. Matthew 8:20, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And Jesus fashioned everything out of nothing, yet he had to borrow a boat from which to preach his gospel. And he created every drop of water that exists in the world, yet he cried, "I thirst," as he was dying on the cross. He created every tree, yet he died on a borrowed cross. He used the clouds as his chariots, yet he had to borrow a donkey on which to ride. Psalm 104, verse 3, "He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind." He is the King of the universe, yet he came to serve. That is the paradox of King Jesus' life. And a servant think of others first. Let's read aloud the Word of God together. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 7. Together, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." What a wonderful account of others first in selfless serving. Amazing. There's an amazing story that I love to share with you. And this is about our security team. And this is a story of a mother looking for a parking spot in DUMC. And it was captured on our online Share Your Story. Listen, I gave birth to our baby daughter in February. A couple of months ago, on one Saturday, I drove to church and was looking for a parking spot. Seeing that I have a baby in the car, the security guard kindly told me there's one last spot available toward the back of the church. And when I got there, the parking spot was actually taken. And as I was making a U-turn to head out, one of the volunteers from the security team offered his own parking spot. And he said to me, he'll go out to park since I have a baby with me. So he proceeded quickly to drive his car out and asked me to park in his spot. I was so blessed by his kindness and generosity. And he went the extra mile in his care, not just to helping to provide security surveillance at church, but by sacrificing his inconvenience for our benefit. A huge thanks to DUMC security team. Thank you for your labor of love. We may not acknowledge you enough. So, thank you. Thank you. And she highlighted the thank you with big capital letters. Thank you. Thank you. And then she ended off with many thank you. And she said this, thank you for often putting your own safety at risk for ours. God bless you and protect you as you serve our community in this courageous way. Many of you, besides the security team, many of you, you have been serving faithfully. So on behalf of the church, I want to say thank you. Thank you. You have done Jesus proud. Well done. Well done. And here are the three others' first encouragement for us. And I'd like us to, you know, take it as a challenge. Take it as an encouragement to spur one another on. Listen carefully. Number one, serve whenever you can. Serve wherever you can. That's number two. Number three, serve whoever you can. Serve whenever you can. Serve wherever you can. Serve whoever you can. Can you turn to your neighbor and give the person a high five? I will do that by God's grace. Okay. Some of you, I saw you doing fist bum, huh? Or bum fist, huh? Whatever, it's the same to me, huh? Okay. So remember, Jesus' two disciples, James and John, the sons of thunder, they were trying to grab the power positions. But Jesus lovingly instructed them to think of others first. In Mark 10, verses 44, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And Jesus made it clear, not so, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Oh, okay, this time you will get it perfect now with Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Are you ready? Together. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This verse is really the summary of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus is the Savior. He's the substitute, and he is the servant. He served the needs of others and then demonstrated the ultimate act of servanthood when he gave his life as a substitute payment for our sins so that we can be saved and be set free. Church, I once know of a lady who came to see me not too long, about a year ago, uncertain about a relationship, on the brink of a breakup. And she was also worried of a health scare. When I first saw her face, her demeanor, it was bags under her eyes, yeah? And Her shoulder was slouched. It was like a ton of bricks that was weighing upon her. And there was a sense of hopelessness. I'd like now to introduce to you Wendy, to share with you the rest of her account on how Christ set her free as she stepped up and stepped out to serve. Come, let's put our hands together and welcome Wendy. Good morning.
My name is Wendy. My CG leader is Kelvin Chu. We are in Fiji, South One, under Pastor Moy Hau. I've been a Christian for more than 30 years. I used to be very active in school and university in the Christian fellowship. And I used to do things out of mere obligations. If I weren't approached, I'd probably just let someone else do it. I was in and out of church. I backslided many times. I smoked. I tried marijuana. I dabbled in astrology. I read on numerology and all those things. I even had a tarot reading done by an ex-boyfriend. I did a lot of things that would later blanket my life with guilt and shame. I would also treat God like an ATM machine when it came to prayer. He would answer, sometimes with a no, to which I would choose to ignore. My faith towards God would spike up and down, and I even told him once, God, I believe in you, but just leave me alone. Then last year in May 2016, my heart was shattered by a very, very painful breakup. And this time around, I surrendered to God. Everything. All my doubts, my fears, my pain, the grief, everything that I've gone through in life. I was so tired of running and hiding from God. It wasn't an overnight transformation, but as I attended conferences, equipped classes, Bible studies, being regular in church and in CG, I relearned many things and cut off a lot of baggage. I've also learned to lean on God, to listen and obey His voice, and to follow His guidance. With so much that God has done for me in my life, I felt I should do something for Him in return. During last year's volunteers preview, I signed up to help out at the registration counter and to be on the writing team. What have I gained from doing all this? I will base my response on DMC's 5 core habits. Honor. As God is my number one priority, I've learned to honor God and people with my time and my effort. Humility. Serving keeps me grounded. Ultimately, in all that I do, the glory goes back to God and not to myself. Be real. I can be my usual self, and I have no need to put up a front. Mm. I appreciate that people accept me just as I am. Yes. Be real. Pass it on. With the joy I've gained, I just want to share my life experience, especially to people who have gone through or are going through similar situations that I have. Fun. Well, it's been great to be part of DUMC. And getting to know and do life with so many wonderful people here. My life is different these days. I always feel a tremendous sense of peace. I am assured, I'm steady, knowing that God is with me at all times. He is indeed my good, good Father.
Amen.
Last year, I stepped up. This year, I stepped out. And next year, I can't wait to step in. I do hope that if you haven't already, that you would consider serving, whether it's at home, in CG, or even in church. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, God bless. Okay, hang on, eh? Yeah. Wendy, look at me. Dear Wendy, I'm so proud of you. I know it's not easy to stand up here to say some of the things that you said. I believe because God has changed you, has touched you. It is God that gave you the courage and the boldness. You say the old has passed, the new has come. You know what? When the first time I saw you, and now whenever you come into the cell group, it's a total 180 degree facelift. You come into the cell group. She is feeling very embarrassed, okay? She comes, you come in with smile on your face. And that really lifts not only my spirit, but also the spirit of the cell group members here. And God is so honored. God bless you. Huh? Well done, well done. Okay. When I first met Wendy, it was in the office, and when he came to one of the meeting room, and as we chatted, and I said to her, in the end, Wendy, the answer is in your hands. You can remain as where you are, or you can turn around and look to God and trust in Him to say, God, I want to follow you. I want to change. And I want to thank God so much that indeed she obeyed and she took that decision. So friends, many of us, you have decisions to make. Maybe you are caught in something that you cannot come out. Actually, the answer is really in your hand. Do you want to turn and change more towards Christ-like? Because God is a God that will set you free. Amen. Friends, in order to improve our serve, we must seek the Savior who substituted our death on our behalf and imitate Christ, the King of all kings. The big idea, even though Christ is the King of kings, He came to serve, and let us imitate His servant heart. Just now, I observed quite a number of visitors here. Well, some of you, you may know the Lord, but some of you may not know the Lord. In the verses that is further down in a cross-reference in Matthew, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, multitudes shouted. Multitudes meaning many, many people. Huge crowd. And this was what the people were shouting. Because previously they have seen that Bartimaeus was healed from his blindness. Lazarus raised from the dead. Many that were set free, delivered. And they have experienced, they have seen Jesus. And this was what they were shouting. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. The whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Friends, this is especially for those of you that do not know Jesus, or for those of you that have backslidden. You have somehow, you know, turned cold and dry. And like what we have heard during the communion time, Father God is waiting at the door of the house with his neck longing for the return of you, his precious son or daughter. Come back. Return home. Return home. Who is this? He is the King of all kings, and yet the King of all servants, the epitome, the embodiment of a true servant who came to give his life so that you may have life. And I love these verses taken from Psalm 49, verses 7 to 9. No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. Because the ransom for a life is costly, no payment is ever enough. But in this case here, the payment of Christ is enough. so that you should live forever and not see decay. Not see decay is a term where you will live forevermore, eternal life. Because when we are on this earthly dwelling of this earthly place here, we think that we are on the land of the living, that one day when we go to the land of the dead. But actually, it is the total opposite. We are currently on the land of the dead. Because one day, all of us, we will have to expire. And when we expire, then we have a decision to make, to go to the land of the living. Either far away from God or near to God. Where a place, when it's near to God, it is His dwelling place, where it is called heaven. When it's far away from God, it's a place where we call eternal torment. Friends, this morning, if you are here for the first time and you do not know Jesus, I believe this is a divine appointment. We call it divine, meaning God brought you here. So the question is, who is this? Who is this? No one can redeem the life of another. Only Jesus can do that. And as the word says, the person who receives King Jesus as Lord and Savior should live forever. And whether you are doing this for the first time or you have backslidden and like to return home to King Jesus and rededicate your life, the next question, are you the person? And if you are, at a count of three, I'd like you to put up your right hand up high and put it down quickly again as an indication that you are ready, that you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Those that are backslidden too, as you rededicate your life, I'd like you to do it likewise, to put up your right hand up high and put it down quickly. Are you ready? At a count of three, one, two, and a three. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Let's begin with those at the ground floor. Can I just scan right across the section? Can you put up your right hand and put it down again so I can see you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now we start with the gallery. Those at the gallery, for those of you that would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to rededicate your life to come back to Jesus, to come back home. You put up your hand. Thank you, I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Many of you, thank you. You can put that, your hands down. God is honored because you have made the decision this morning to say, God, I return back to you. I want to walk closely and know your heart and purpose for me. I'd like you to repeat after me in this prayer. This is called the sinner's prayer. Basically, to say sorry to Jesus for all the things that we have done wrong and to thank Him for dying for you on the cross. And then to invite Him to come, please, into your life and to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Church, as an encouragement to our friends that put up their hands, let's pray this prayer together. Together. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm so sorry that I've hurt you and pained you. I want to say sorry and receive your apology, which is your forgiveness. I want to thank you for dying on the cross for me and that you were buried. And on the third day, you arose from the dead. I want to invite you to please come into my life as my Lord and as my Savior, and help me to live this one life in honor and in pleasure to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.